them, they'll be headed for Peru, Panama. He doesn't want to go to Panama. Headed for Peru tomorrow morning. And so you'll be praying that they have a safe trip and a safe journey as they go. Lee grew up in this church and went to school here, and we're going to let him share with us what the Lord has laid on his heart about their ministry. Lee, if you'll come up. And tonight, we're going to be back in Genesis again, chapters 8 and 9. Okay?
Thank you, Pastor. All right. Good to be here.
Thank you.
I'm on Eddie, right? Okay, good. It's good to be here again, and thank the Lord for the opportunity to come with you all. As Pastor pointed out, I grew up in this church, and you know, it's good to see familiar faces, you know. But Ed told me a little while ago, you know, it's kind of hard to imagine me with all this white on, you know. Well, it is what it is. It's reality, you know. And I was a older teenager when God allowed me to come here, and only a few years ago, you know, just a few years ago. And praise the Lord for the wonderful opportunity that God has given me to be here alongside my wife. Now she's with me, obviously, and the Lord had brought us here. All of us was affected by this and still are affected by the pandemic, and that's part of the reason why the delay was to come back in the States. We were planning on coming back in May of last year, but things didn't work out, and we were able to leave the country in December. Of course, my prayer letters indicated all of that of last year, so I won't go on to detail about that, but we were able to come back together again. In other words, because of the pandemic, she was in another location, I was in another location, and we were able to come together and fly out and make it back to the States here in December. We were planning on returning in January of this year, but one thing led to another as far as the pandemic down in Peru, and obviously it affects all the countries as well. Peru was, out of all the South American countries, was the second highest in effects, in contacts, people dying and everything. So that kind of put us back a little bit until we got some things squared away and worked out. And tomorrow was actually two times we postponed it, and then tomorrow will be the actually day that we leave. Well, as far as we know, it's still going good right now. You know, things can happen. God knows what he's doing. If he says no, then no. You know, it's not going to bother. But we planned to leave tomorrow, so we actually had to pray about that. We had our shots and everything. And, you know, we was thinking, but everyone got the shots and everything, fine. Think that was good. But no, the airlines are requiring, because of the government in Peru, for us to had the test, so we had to get a test, and yesterday the test result came back. Both of us are negative. We're not negative. The test came back as negative. So we're good to go on that. So all the procedures prior to our leaving is intact. So just a matter of fact, just get in the plane and go. But we have a lot to do still. Evan and I, right after the service, you got to get things going again and just keep things ready so we could continue on to leave tomorrow morning. We have to be up and about 3:30 in the morning to be able to leave and catch a flight. So you can imagine how we're going to get to Peru. So anyway, keep us in prayer. Now that's as far as what Evan and I have to do. As far as the ministry is concerned, we were able to continue the ministry during our absence from Peru, per se, from Chiclayo, by way of viral services. All through the week, we had different services going on, different classes and whatnot. The main services for the deaf and the hearing, of those of you who are not familiar with the ministry, Evan and I work with deaf people as well as the hearing people at the church. So we have two services for the deaf on Thursdays, two services for deaf and hearing on Thursdays, and two services for the deaf and hearing on Sunday, all by way of viral, and leaving one service for sign language and going to the next service with voice, and that nature. So it's a lot of work, but praise the Lord that we saw some wonderful things taking place, especially in the area of the Herring Church, where we have a lot of people coming together and helping and whatnot, because all this technology, pressing buttons and everything, young guys, you know how to press buttons, let them press the buttons, I just show my face, you know, and go about the business. So anyway, so things were going good in that nature. When we get back to Peru, to Chiclayo, we're going to see about organizing some things we need to organize. And just last week, a week from yesterday, Evan and I received some kind of concerned information about the situation as a property of the location where the church and the school is on. This by way of prayer. obviously, you know about the situation in Peru as far as closing the schools. In other words, for the deaf, they wanted to be included with other people in the school system there, and that's been going on for the last 6-7 years or so. And so about 3 years ago, as I mentioned before in prior times when I was here, we had to close down the high school, then close down the elementary school, and then the kindergarten services. So we were put on two-year suspension. We suspended the school for 2 years until we could finally get some paperwork done. That ended last March, or last month, make it clarified, last month. Now, because the school, all schools in Peru are exempt from taxes, property tax, but we just got a word for this year, the municipal of the city where we live in wants to charge us about $8,400 for whole years of property tax. And I'm trying to find a way to skip country, skip town, so I'm sure. But in other words, no seriousness, please pray for us about that. Obviously, it's totally outrageous. I've talked to a lot of people, and they said, Brother Johnson, Pastor Lee, Missionary Lee, that's just totally ridiculous. But that's one of the things we want to get back to Peru and talk to them about and see what's going on. Now, I said this to say this. This last week, we were doing some vast and major paperwork to see if we could get the school reopened again, because like I said, it was just suspended. We were not cut off. It was suspended. So we have the resolution, the official paperwork to prove that we do have the backing, so we will be exempt from property tax. The church, on the other hand, is a lot of red tape you have to do to get the church to be exempt, but the school is a little easier. So all I have to say is, dear brothers and sisters in Christ of this church, please pray for us. Please pray for us that God will intervene, and He knows what's best. He knows what's going on. He's not worried, And it's good to say that we're going to trust and lean on Him, but please pray for that. It's a major, major concern because we don't have $8,400, and truthfully, it's not correct. But living in an unsafe society, unsafe world, they don't know anything about what is correct for the most part. So please pray for us. Once again, our names is Lee, Ali, and Eva Johnson. And can't leave my little daughter out. Her name is Melanie. And you keep us in prayer. I was asked about her, and she's still studying. By God's grace, she should be finishing a year from this coming May, master's studies, and she should be done. So please pray for her. Her name is Melanie, and she's doing well. Thanks so much for your prayers for us. And once again, we'll be able to leave on tomorrow and keep going and keep doing what God wants us to do. I thank the Lord as a missionary. The Lord gave me 30 years of a missionaries last year in the month of October. And it's so good to be serving the Lord for all those years. And God gave my wife and I 27 years of marriage in the month of February. By the way, we're still receiving anniversary gifts, too, if you want to put your... Well, the Lord. So it's good that the Lord has been so good and blessing to us. And so keep us in your prayers. And it's always good to come back to my sending church and Pastor McBride giving me the opportunity to share and also to preach. It's very, very, very encouraging to preach His word and serve Him. Sometimes I get confused because you can imagine in my mind, Spanish, English, and sign language is constantly on my go. So if I seem to be confused, I am. Okay? I'm not going to deny the fact I am. So I do the best I can. Whatever language comes out, just smile and look okay. Yeah, look like you're getting the message, okay? So if we could have prayer, please, and let's go into the message. Dear Jesus, thank you, Father, for this opportunity you've given us to be here. Thank you for my dear wife. Always good, Lord Jesus, to be accompanied with her. Thank you for our daughter, Metany. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for the church here in Coastal Shores and Pastor McBride and the wonderful members, seeing some familiar faces and also seeing some new faces, Father, amongst what we are going through now with this pandemic and the COVID-19 and the surge in different areas and different parts of the world and different countries, Father, you are still in control. There's nothing that will catch you by surprise, nothing, because you are great Lord of Lords and King of Kings. And thank you, Lord, for the love you've given us. Now, Lord, use this message for your honor and glory. And Lord, let it come across the way you want it to be come across, Father. Thank you that you have called me into your ministry. You have called me into your service, Father. There's nothing better that I would want to do in my life than to serve you, Father. There's nothing better to being your child and being used by you. Thank you, Father. And as Pastor said earlier, if anyone's here, Lord, that doesn't know you as Lord and Savior, I pray, God, they will make things right with you, Father. And also, Father, those of us who are your children, saved and born again, help us to continue to learn and grow. In your wonderful and most precious holy name, I pray. Amen. Thank you. All of us know about the term mode. You know, certain modes, you press a certain button, you go to a certain mode, your button, you go to this place, and you go to that place, you go to a certain mode. You know, today I want to, if I were to title this message, let's turn into the Daniel mode. Click a button, and Daniel mode. What is a Daniel mode? I'm not trying to idolize him, by no means, because we only have one Lord and Savior, and that's Jesus Christ, King of Kings, and that's our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. But God has allowed certain people to influence us in different ways in our life. And of course, a lot of the influence that we have on a godly nature is men and women used by God that we see in the Word of God. And one of those is the person of Daniel. And what is the Daniel mode? Now, obviously, since each one of us can have an idea or put a mode in, but since I'm preaching, I'm going to give you the mode that God has allowed me to indicate about the Daniel mode. So, obviously, where are we going to find the mode of Daniel mode? In the book of Daniel. So, let's go open our word, the Bibles, to the book of Daniel, please, the book of Daniel. And we're going to turn to Chapter 1, Daniel, chapter 1. Have some determining factors about our life and the area and the route we should take. Now, just basically a rundown. Obviously, you know, God allowed Nebuchadnezzar and Babylonian to go and destroy Judah. And where obviously Daniel and a whole lot of people came from were taken as slaves back to Babylon, and obviously for the rebellion that the people were living in and practicing for many, many, many years. Daniel himself was not exactly one of those people living in rebellion, but even good people, even wonderful people, even spiritual people, suffer consequences of rebellion of other people, you know, and we just have to be honest by that. And see, even us today now here in this country, in America, we see a lot of rebellion, and we who want to do right and are doing right are suffering consequences of rebellions of many, many people. By no means I'm judging, I'm just making a state fact and reality. The same is true here, you know. And then obviously, in the first few verses, we see some things come to play whereby by Daniel and some of his colleagues or his people that came with him from Judah in that area had to make certain decisions with their lives. We start off and see in verse 3, Daniel chapter 1, verse 3, and the king spake unto Asphenes, the master of his eunuchs, that he should bring certain of the children of Israel and of the kids, of the king's seed and of the princess, children in whom was no blemish, but well-favored and skillful in all wisdom and cunning in knowledge and understanding, science, and such as had ability to do to them to stand in the king's palace, and whom they might teach the learning and the tongues of the Chaldeans. And the king appointed them a daily provisions of the king's meat and of the wine which he drank, so nourishing them 3 years, that at the end thereof they might stand before the king. Now among these were of the children of Judah, Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah, and to whom the prince of the eunuchs gave names. For he gave unto Daniel the name of Belshazzar, and to Hananiah Shadrach, and to Mishael Meshach, and to Azariah Abednego. Now we're going to come into the Daniel mode now. Daniel mode. Verse 8. But Daniel purposed in his heart that he would not defile himself with the portion of the king's meat, nor with the wine which he drank. Therefore he requested of the prince of the eunuchs that he might not defile himself. And obviously we know the rest of the story. But I want to focus on that part, Daniel mode. What is the Daniel mode? He just pressed the button and said, click? No, I'm not going to do that. He purposed in his heart. Now, Brother Johnson, is that just a Daniel mode? No. We all have that button we could click on, press on. Have we purposed in our hearts to do right always in any given situation? Have we purposed, or we're just going to go with the flow? Now, obviously, in these verses, we come to be understanding that it was just not Daniel and his three friends there, but it was a whole lot of people that was under the king's command. And the rest of the people, did they not have a button they could press, a desire in their heart to do right? Of course they did. And of course we do too. Is things occur in our lives to challenge us, to help us think and be concerned about our spiritual condition. There's no one exempt from making the right decisions. We all have to, especially we who belong to God, we have to make right decisions and purpose in the heart. Now, I like that word because when I'm rather than going to do all the Hebrew per se, but I like it because it makes sense. It's not just a word that say, well, he purposed, you know, he purposed in his heart, you know. No, it's a word that really has a kick to it. He was determined. He meant business. I mean, this is what I'm saying. I mean, you know, come on, Daniel, come on. You know, the king's going to get after me if you don't do. Well, no, I'm sorry, no. Like, do you mean what you said you mean, Daniel? Yes. Read my lips. Yes. He was determined. He purposed in his heart not to defile himself. Now, obviously, in this portion of the Word of God, we understand he's talking about the rations that were provided by the king for them to eat, the meal and the wine and everything. But in his life and in his heart, he determined, no, I'm not going that route. I'm not going to do that. I'm not going to eat this. And obviously, he presented a different way. And obviously, we know what happened. It worked out. It worked out for him. But we all are challenged in different areas and different ways of our life to determine certain things that we want to do in our life. No? To make it work in us and be determined to do right always. You know? I came to that conclusion many years ago as far as my life and on the physical realm that I saw myself was not doing good in my health and my weight and everything, and I came to determine certain things in my life, and I made that decision. Was it easy? No. But I determined. You know, not on the spiritual realm, when I was challenged by several people in the earlier parts of my decision, and many people here will remember that as an early young teenager, and I was challenged, I was questioned by certain people, not necessarily of this church, but in the realm of my Christian walk. Are you serious? Have you determined that you really want to go to Peru? You want to serve the Lord? Yes. Yes, I do. You know? I was told by one person, but you know, there's jungles there. There's snakes and there's things. There's danger there. I said, there's danger here. I was born in the Bronx. Enough said, huh? I know where danger is. I know where danger comes from. No, but God called me, and I determined it. I purposed it in my heart. I thank the Lord for He has given me 30 years in Peru, because that's what He called me to do. We have to determine certain things in life and be purposed and maintain the plan and the dignity that God has allowed us to experience. Now, obviously, we all have different areas and experience that we experience every day in our life, and we have to make decisions, but make the decisions with a purpose in mind and determined to go forth no matter what. God is still on His throne, and He's not leaving. Amen? He's going to stay right there. He always has, and He always will. It's important for us to understand that. Now, with all this said and done, I wanna turn in another portion of the Word of God and show where, in a different aspect, where a person became weak in deciding what he wanted, what he was going to do, because he allowed influences and of that nature to override his decision in one. Maintain the dignity. We're going to see in the book of Genesis, please. Genesis chapter 31, if I'm not mistaken. Excuse me. Sorry. No, Genesis chapter 13. I apologize. Genesis chapter 13, please. Genesis chapter 13. We see two persons here, obviously, Abraham and Lot. And we're going to start off on verse 5. Genesis chapter 13, verse 5. And Lot also, which went with Abram, had flocks and herds and tents, and the land was not able to bear them, that they might dwell together, for the substance was great, so that they could not dwell together. And there was strife between the herdsmen of Abram's cattle and the herdmen of Lot's cattle, and the Canaanite and the Perizzites dwelt then in the land. And Abram said to Lot, let there be no strife, I pray thee, between me and thee, and between my herdmen and thy herdmen, for we be brethren. Is not the whole land before, a land before thee? Separate thyself, I pray thee, from me. If thou wilt take the left hand, then I will go to the right. Or if thou depart to the right hand, then I will go to the left. Verse 10. And Lot lifted up his eyes and beheld the plain of Jordan that was well watered everywhere before the Lord destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah, even as the garden of the Lord, like the land of Egypt, as thou comest unto Zoar. Then Lot chose him all the plain of Jordan, and Lot journeyed east, and they separated themselves one from another. Abram dwelt in the land of Canaan, and Lot dwelt in the city of the plains, and pitched his tent toward Sodom. But the men of Sodom were wicked and sinners before the Lord exceedingly. Now, without going into all the details, because we all know the situation and what took place in Sodom and Gomorrah, and we had a wonderful Sunday school lesson concerning things of that nature, and a wonderful understanding, so I won't go that route. I'm not going to steal the fire from my dear brother here. But obviously, the important thing we understand here basically is that Lot had different things in mind. See, so apparently, Lot was not purposed in his heart to do right. And we know the whole story. The Bible says clearly that Lot pitched his tent toward Sodom. But the men of Sodom were wicked and sinners before the Lord exceedingly. See, what Lot was not purposed in this heart, because we know what happened. Lost his, the way he lived, lost all he had, lost his wife, and lost his two daughters into incest. And we know what happened. See, because he was not purposed in his heart to do right continually. See, and that's the thing. You see, it was not a matter of fact that one decision that Daniel made about purpose in his heart, but it was a continued act, a continuing living for the Lord, doing right always. It's not a one-time thing, okay, Lord, I'm saved now, glory to God, I'm on my way to heaven, boom, that's it. Now I'm across my arms, just do as I please, just relax a little bit. No, we have to continue being faithful to God under all circumstances. That purposing is a continued walk, continued act, continued decision. It's not going to get easier. We heard it before. It's true. It's not going to get easier. It's going to get worse. Jesus said himself, it will wax worse and worse, as in the days of Noah was. Even so, it's getting worse. We see it out there, but we have to continue to purpose in our heart. Now, obviously, I can't go all into detail. I don't want to imagine, but we could always think about what Lot was spiritual to. He said, man, my uncle's over here. He wants to do this. Man, there's nothing over here. It's dry and dead and nothing over here. I'm looking over here. There's water over here and there's green over here. There's people over there. There's life. There's the lights, the action, music. Let's go. Let's get involved in that. Made me think about a story I heard from a pastor who, a man who went to see his pastor and said, Pastor, God has blessed me tremendously in my job. He said, well, amen. Let's hear about it. Well, I'm going to get a raise. Well, excellent. That's fantastic. That's good news. Yeah, but there's a catch to it, Pastor. And the guy says, yeah, but what? What's the catch? Well, I'm going to have to leave this area, leave my house and leave the church, and they're going to move me to another location. So, whoa, that's interesting. Okay, and what did God say about it? What do you mean did God say about it, Pastor? Oh, excuse me, let me refrain. Did you pray about it? Pray about it, God? I mean, Pastor? Yeah, did you pray about it? What did God say? Pastor, you didn't understand what I'm saying? Yeah, I understand what you're saying. I got a raise. I got an increase. Hey, we're going to have a better home, a bigger home. My wife's going to have all the things she always wanted. And my kids going to have friends and influences and things of that nature. Pray about it. Is it enough that God allowed me to get a raise and promoted in my job? You better pray about it. Pastor, with all due respect, I'm done talking to you. I'm enough. I'm going to move and leave. He did. Up and left. Took off. Didn't feel that was needed to pray because God blessed him with increase. God blessed him with a higher position. He went to that location. Sure and behold, he got a bigger house and all the things that he and his wife desired. The kids had friends, influence. One thing led to another, and okay, let's go. Get ready. Let's go to church this morning. Church? Dad? Come on. I got my friends coming over. I'll be going to a certain place. Okay. Honey, let's go to church. Oh, I'm sorry, my love, but I got some important meetings coming up in the half the fall on Sundays. Huh? We're not going to church? Next week. Next week turned into next month, and next month turned into 6 months, and 6 months turn to zero. Years pass. Lo and behold, the secretary said, if I could recall the story right, there's a man out here waiting. Who was his name? It's so-and-so. Oh, he wants to see you. He wants to see you, Pastor. Okay. Well, have him come in. Yes, have a seat. Before he saw the jubilant, excited man, and before him sat a man broken. Tears in his eyes. Pastor, say no more. I understand. Broken. Defeated. Why? Because he saw what Lot saw. The lights, cameras, action, green, everything. Why? because I don't have to pray about this. I mean, he was determined, yes, he purposed in his heart to do wrong, not to do right. You see, there's a two-sided coin here. Are you with me? We have to determine to do right. It may seem a little dry over here, a little dull, a little boring, but we have to work. I love outdoors. My wife says, you can see, I love getting out in the garden. I love going out and working and picking the weeds and just getting my hand in the dirt inside. I love doing that. I mean, I is not going to do it by himself. I have to go out there and work. Does that mean, Brother Johnson, you mean you got to sweat? Yeah, I got to sweat. You got to get dirty? Yeah, I got to get dirty. Yes, that's all part of working in the garden and working in the yard and cleaning up and raking and doing that which is joyful. And the same is true when we're going to live for God. We have to determine in our heart to do right, purpose in our heart. But you don't understand, Daniel. The king is saying you need to eat this thing. Well, tell the king I'm not going to eat this thing. But I got have. Let's try this. Just try and see. And after said and done, yeah, you was right, Daniel. You look, your guys are jubilant and excited and happy, and this guy's over here. Boom. Oh, man, can't do this. You see, God's ways is always right. God's ways always work. God is ready. We have to be determined. See what I'm saying? Lot made wrong decisions, and he ended up losing everything. Not just the life of his wife and what he had and that nature, the embarrassment that would happen with his daughters. He lost his own testimony, if you please. Shame and disgrace, embarrassment. Broken down old man living in the cave. You see? Satan just looked, well, you follow my rule, you follow my direction to a T. You broken down old piece of nothing. And what's Lot going to say? Yeah, you're right. We have to make determined and decide what we're going to do. No matter what, we're going to do right. No purpose in our heart to be obedient to God, no matter what the cost. You know, but the wonderful thing about it is that we are always in God's hands. It may look rough out there. It may be a little hard out there, but God always knows how to take care of his own. He always does. His will is always right, no matter what. He sees everything. We have to be obedient. Are you purposing your heart? I don't know what battles you are going through. What struggles are you facing? What decision you need to purpose in your heart about? I don't know. That's not my business. It's between you and God. My purpose is to share God's word and to love you and to encourage you. As I want to be encouraged as well, as I want to be loved as well. You know, it's not, Pastor could agree with me on this. It's not always easy for us as pastors or preachers. Because you want to sit down and have someone preach to me too. I need to be preached to. I need to be slapped up over once in a while, you know. Not by my wife necessarily, you know. I could do some encouragement too. I like listening and it works. It happens. I mean, just right there. I said, I needed that. I needed that. That's good. You know, and we're not going to be, if you have a problem with doing right, then you have a problem obeying God's word. We have to obey God's word. It's all good. It's going to teach us something. It's important for us to understand that. Purpose in your heart. And I close with this verse. I have about 3 hours left, okay? Romans chapter 8, verse 28. And we know the verse by heart, but let's go to it. Romans 8:28. The Bible is wonderful in this term. You see, the Bible says, "And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are called according to his purpose." You know something interesting about this verse? That Daniel didn't have this verse when he lived. It wasn't then, there. But he practiced it. You see? "And we know all things work together for good, them love God." Did Daniel love God? Yes, he did. "To them who are called according to his purpose." Was Daniel called to his purpose? Yes. But Johnson, he was taken from his land of nativity. A good man, a godly man, a righteous man. He didn't do anything, but he was taken. He became a slave in another country. But Daniel purposed in his heart to do right. Did God take care of him? Yes, he did. But what happened later? He got thrown in a lion's den. What kind of God is that? Did God take care of him? Yes, he did. What a wonderful Lord we serve, amen? My wife was talking to her sister, and, you know, it's a little while ago, because the conditions as far as the COVID-19, the surges, are not really good in Peru. My wife told her sister, you know, she says, "God has everything under control. If you go into the mouth of the lion, if that's God's will, move over, Jonah. I mean, I know you was in a fish, but I'm in a lion, but just kind of make room in there. I'm coming in." You know? If God wants us to go on the boat, it is. It's his will. All that to say is that I love God. I love him. I love him. No matter what it takes, I love God. And that's the way we should be. I'm a purpose in my heart, dear God, depending on the condition. I'm a purpose in my heart, God, depending about where you want me to go. Abraham, yes, Lord, go here. Where? Over there. I don't see anything over there. No. Here am I, Lord. Send me. Purpose in our hearts. God's word is good, amen? Amen. It's wonderful. We should read it with a joy of understanding. Say, God, not so much I want a blessing per se, but God, I want to know you. I want to know you. Every once in a while, I think about the experience that Moses experienced, you know, going up in the side of the mountain, just him and God alone. I said, "Oh, God, come on, you did it with Moses. Just let me go up there too and just have fellowship with you." He says, "I already did." Amen? This is good. If you got the purpose in your heart, no matter what it takes, let's keep working for God. Click the Daniel mode. Click that mode. Let's get on that mode. It'll be all right. Dear Jesus, thank you. Thank you, Father, for giving me the opportunity, Lord, to preach your word. Thank you, Lord, for giving me just the opportunity just to share your love. You are altogether lovely, God. I want to continue to be used by you. Bless and direct, Father, and use this moment to your will, to your purpose, Father. Lord Jesus, I pray for the people here who listened. If anyone here does know you as Savior, Father, I pray they will come to saving knowledge of you and to love you and be repent from their sins. And those of us who are saved, Father, I pray, God, that you will help us to grow and love you and serve you more. I'm going to leave this, Lord Jesus, this time right now with Pastor McBride. I'm going to ask the people to continue with their heads bowed and their eyes closed as Pastor comes forward, please.
Folks, he was talking about the Daniel mode, and that's the mode we all have to be in if we're going to be able to serve the Lord. And if there's anyone here this morning who you say, well, I've been in the lot mode, I've been looking out for me, and you'd like to shift to the Daniel mode, we're available here at the front. You can come share with me and say, Brother Ken, would you pray with me that I might be able to change things? Or if you're here this morning and you do not know the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, I would ask that right now you determine in your heart you do want to know Him. You want to be part of the family of God. And if that's the case, as we sing our closing hymn of invitation, then that's what we come, let me know that. Before we do all these things, we're going to go ahead and take up a love offering. You determine in your heart what kind of a life you want to live. If the men will come, we'll go ahead and receive a love offering.